Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
RBD Podcast, episode number 7. Normally start everyone with a salute, so you guys are out of luck.
Hey, he's 21.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. No, you're driving. You're good.
Yeah.
We're here today with Brady Myers and Olivia Dean. They stopped up. We're going to talk a little archery with them. But before we start anything, I'd like to talk a little turkey hunting with them because they were up here this morning and Brady shot a good bird up here on the hill. So that's probably one of the bigger birds. Or I would say, I don't know, what is a big bird? Don't message me right after you must have posted that and was like, oh, Brady shot a good bird.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I got the pictures of it. But, like, I don't know. I mean, 10.5-inch beard with 1.25-inch spur seems like that's a decent bird, right?
Yeah, that's a solid one, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much, like, Dalton had shot one earlier in the spring that was 10-inch beard with, same thing, 1.25-inch spurs. I guess, I don't know, like, what was the weight of it? Did you even weigh that thing
out? It was only 19 pounds. A lot of time later in the season from just all the, late in the breeding season, they're always lighter, so.
Because they're running.
Yeah, they're already done most of their breeding, so they always are down weight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought that had a real nice beard on it. I mean,
yeah, 10.5's a good beard, and it's a solid bird. It's the biggest one I've ever killed, for as far as beard. And last year I shot a 10.5, but he had the biggest spurs I've ever killed. I never killed 1.25-inch spurs.
I think as far as the birds that have been taken off of this hill, I would say that's probably above average, right? I think. Mm-hmm. Couple that Dalton may have got, he might have got, you know, 8 or 9-inch beards with 1-inch spurs or something. But I mean, you heard there's a pile of birds up there for sure.
Oh, yeah, there's a pile of them. There's 4 in one group. I shot mine out.
Yeah, Dalton said last year, I was hoping you guys are going to be able to double up. You know, when you were texting me or talking to me this morning, I thought,
yeah, I didn't. Man, we left the other one gun in the truck.
Man, oh, so you only went up with one gun?
Yeah, we only went up with one.
Did you go up? You said you had a 410 or you had just a 12 gauge?
It's in my truck now, but I just have my 12 gauge with me.
Oh, see, I thought you both had gone up.
No.
No. So, were you doing any calling?
No. No. He got me a slate call, so I've been practicing in my room like every day. My parents hate me for it, but I've been learning how, but I haven't called anything.
And I'd imagine you have you had a slate call, mouth call, the whole deal, right?
Oh, with the rain, and then it blew off the trees. I tried to slate one time, and as I'm in the middle of sequence, a raindrop lands right on the slate. So
when Dalton and I were talking turkey hunting a couple pods ago, like, I'm like the kind of guy that he laughs at, because we'll go out with that stupid box call, and if I hear a bird gobble, I'm just like right back at it for the entire time. And he said the key is to, like, not just shut up, don't call as much. Is that what you find yourself doing a lot?
It depends, really. If I feel like they have hens, I try to get aggressive with them.
So you might hammer it a little bit.
I have called one with him, bring a hen with him before.
Oh, really?
Just being aggressive. I don't know if it's. I wouldn't say I'm a great turkey hunter. I can kill some turkeys, but those turkeys there, I mean, I called twice. I normally try to get them fired up, and then I'll just go silent on them for a while. And that's normally, it seems to agitate them from my experience, that they just want to come in and check it out even more.
And you guys didn't hear anything walking in?
No.
None on the roost. There's nothing
roosting. For the first, like, hour and a half, we heard nothing.
Like, what route? I mean, Did you walk up there on a logging road, or did you just kind of like bushwhack through the
woods? No, we went straight up.
Yeah, we went pretty much straight up. We went up the power line and went up pretty far.
Up the pole line here, right where you walked up.
I went to the first pin you gave me on that bench.
Yep.
And we stopped there for a while and just listened for birds on the roost. Nothing. It was. We heard one across the road, all the way across the road. It sounded like it was way out. And then we pretty much just went straight up.
You went straight up that ridge.
Yeah. Till we got to the top bench there.
Yep. We had shot the RBD on that bench one year. I don't know if you do. You remember shooting the year I had that lynx up on that power line, way up by a stump? That might have been a year before you started coming, right?
Yeah. But
one year I had us out on that bench. But I always, Dalton knows, like, you got to be up above there, it seems like. Last year when he was here, he had some birds he could hear on the roost right in that bowl. He was sitting there, but they were up above him, like, up on that next ridge. So he had to walk up and kind of get up top.
Yeah, it's always easier to call them uphill than downhill. Because they can see down in, so if you're calling and they look down in there and they don't see anything, they're not going
to
come down.
That's what I was trying to tell my dad. Dad wanted to go out. Maybe the opening weekend, maybe, because that was a week before the RBD. But, you know, he ain't into walking that hill like you guys did this morning.
Best off taking side-by-side and getting right to the top.
Well, that's what I had thought about doing. I said, we can get in side-by-side and go right up top. I said, but he wanted to try to hunt down here, and I think that's the problem that we run into because we're kind of lazy turkey hunters.
Yeah.
And I think trying to call them down into here is tough because I think they can see so much as they're coming down
the hill. You're going to do it. Gonna definitely need a decoy for that because they can just see.
Well, that's it. I think the one time I had set up down here, I called one in, but they got to the edge of the field and looked out and saw, like, oh,
yeah,
there's no one here. Yeah, we're just going to.
And then just get spooked.
Yeah. Have you done a bunch of turkey hunting, Olivia? Or is this like kind of.
This is my first year of turkey hunting ever.
Do you do a lot of deer hunting? Have you done a lot of deer hunting?
Not a lot. We lived in New Jersey in the neighborhood for a while, so I never really went out. But this past year, we moved to PA, and we have 15 acres of our own by our house. So I hunted that a lot this year by myself. So
where did you live in Jersey?
Manahawkin by Long Beach Island.
Oh, yeah. My cousin did a lot of surfing up in Long Beach Island. My cousin's from South Jersey, like Cherry Hill, Marlton.
Yeah, area. My mom worked at a school in Cherry Hill.
Yeah, I know that area pretty well. When I lived down there by Philly, we would be in that South Jersey area quite often.
Yeah.
Right? And you ended up moving up here to Towanda?
Yeah.
Just last year?
Yeah, right before Christmas.
So then I don't feel horrible about not knowing who you were and that's how good you shoot.
I've only lived here
because
a little
I will there. Tell you that when I was trying to get my warm-up set up, and Brady knows the kind of shooters I try to get up here for that tournament.
Yeah.
I needed like one or two more heavy hitters, and someone was mentioning about you, and I just thought, how is someone in Towanda shooting like that? And I had never, I don't know who this is, right? Like, and then I felt horrible because I'm like, man, this girl's a heavy hammer. She's putting up some scores down there. You know what I mean? I think I called you late. I think you had already committed to doing something else.
For Kinsey's, I think, was the same weekend.
Kinsey's Swing was that same weekend. Well, I'm going to certainly make sure that you get on the short list.
Yeah.
Especially since you're so close.
Yeah, it's down not there. Far at all.
I know your dad's over it up in arms.
Yep.
With Rodney and them boys. I mean, they've been friends of mine for as long as I've lived up here. I mean, I used to shoot at their place even before this place was open. They used to have like a little 11-yard 3D range inside like this little hardware store where they would do stuff like where you'd shoot in the dark at aspirins or like weird a bunch of weird things, right?
They do like a glow-in-the-dark thing.
When they had guys down there that really wanted to set up their 3D course for their winter league, they'd have all kinds of
crazy. Yeah, my dad has fun with it now.
I always thought it was super fun. I mean, you would go through a dozen and a half of arrows during the league because you're shooting into fans. And they did one year, they had a giant wall across that separated the archers from the targets. Mm-hmm. You couldn't see the targets. And in that wall, there were playing card slots.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd stand at your stake and then one of those slots would open. And you had to shoot through the slot at the target that was behind the thing. And it was so hard to do with a hinge. I would just aim through the paper and just hope that when the slot closed, I would just shoot through the wall, yeah, hoping my arrow would continue to the target. But that was a super fun shoot to do. I don't know if they did a 3D league down there this year or not.
Yeah,
I know Rodney was talking to me about doing some paper slot leagues, maybe, or trying to figure out some stuff for next year. But I think that'd be fun. I'd like to do something where I was always trying to do something like where the shops would travel.
Right. That's what he was telling me.
You know, they never really had anybody down there to push indoor though before, until like you started going down there. There was everybody else that would work there that shot spots. They didn't shoot down there because Rodney just wasn't interested in doing it, but I'm glad he's got you guys up there now trying to push that along.
Right? Yeah, I think he's trying to make archery a little bit bigger there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a constant battle. Yeah. I mean, but so that's good. So let's talk a little bit about like what you've done, right? Mm-hmm. I know you shoot for the USA archery team. I followed a little bit. How long have you been on the team? Like, where have you traveled to so far this year? I know you got a bunch of stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Like I said to you before, I know you've won some stuff, podium some stuff. You're shooting on the senior women's compound team.
Yeah.
Right. So you're with Paige.
Yes.
And who else?
Alexis.
Alexis. Yep. So, you're with all the top women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. So what have you shot so far this year? Like where have you kind of placed, mm-hmm, and what are the rest of the shoots, the rest of the season looking like for you?
Yeah, so far this year I shot the first two USATs, Arizona Cup and Gator Cup.
Yeah.
Arizona Cup, I think I finished seventh. I had a rough quarterfinal match, but I still shot pretty decent for the weather. We had bad wind that day, so it was a little crazy, yeah. And then Gator Cup, I qualified third, I believe, with the 701, so I was happy with that. It was my first 700 with my Hoyt. So that felt good. I gained a lot of confidence from that.
You both have recently also switched bow manufacturers this season, right? Yes. So you had gone from Darton to now Hoyt.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I mean, it almost seems like a natural fit with that the USAC team. I mean, there's probably a lot of Hoyt archers on that team.
Yeah, there's
right?
a lot
I
of
mean,
people shooting that bow.
I think. I would think that Hoyt is probably one of the more prevalent manufacturers with that USA archery. I mean, I'm just like thinking off the top of my head of a lot of the guys that I know that shoot it. It seems like a lot of them do shoot a Hoyt.
Mm-hmm.
How's the switch been going? Do you like that? You run a Concept 37?
Yeah. I like it a lot. I think it took me time to get used to because the bows do feel very different to me, like draw cycle, all that stuff. So I think it took me a little while, but once I got it set up how I want it, I think it's going good now. I feel like I have gained confidence a lot with it. Like at first with my Darton, I had such a good season last year with it that I was so confident. And so switching bows like right away, I was a little bit hesitant like confidence-wise. But now that I feel like I've performed well with it and, you know, I did win Gator Cup with it, so that helped a lot with mental stuff with the new bow.
So. How many more USAT events are?
There's two more USAT events, and then I leave June 1st to go to the Third World Cup.
Yeah, so you're going overseas.
Yeah, I'm going to Turkey.
Yeah, see, that's exciting.
Yeah,
right? Like,
I'm excited.
I find that to be very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, does the whole team travel?
Yeah, it'll be, I think, four compound women and four compound men.
And everything you're doing is 50 meters.
Yes.
So this would be what they are opening the Olympics to?
Yeah, they're doing, in 2028, they're doing mixed team in the Olympics or compound.
But this is something that this is something you're going to be trying out to try to get on, right?
Yeah,
like, this will be a goal for 2028 is to try to get on that mixed team. You got to be are you one of the younger kids on that team?
Yeah,
Isaac?
Isaac. So
is still young, right? I mean,
yeah, he's maybe 20, something like that. But, and then there's Liko. Liko's, I think, a year younger than me. Yep. Maybe she's in the top 8 for the women as well, so she's one of the younger ones as well.
That's exciting. I mean, I personally find it exciting.
Yeah, the top. That
someone like you is so close to us here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's a world of archery that I only watch from, like, YouTube videos or whatever. Yeah. We keep track on our phones when it's happening because we know a few people that go. But, you know, like, I'm trying to think. Well, Louis doesn't shoot any of the – Louis Price doesn't shoot any of the used that stuff anymore,
yeah,
does he?
Yeah, he did this year. He's been – I'm pretty sure he was at both of them.
So yeah,
far.
So I
did well at the last one.
Yeah.
When I was watching.
I think he got –
I'll tell you what.
Fourth or third.
That kid might be the best Redding shooter that's like that there is right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just is getting eked out of first place. I mean, he is built for Redding. It's crazy. So he's on the team. I know a couple of the kids here that were Mike's like Raptor kids or whatever, they shot on the juniors team.
Yeah, they have cadet.
But I don't know if like so.
On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Eli Barchon, he ended up buying your bow. I know, I think he might be too old now to shoot on the youth team.
Yeah, he might be on the junior team from this past year, but I'm not completely sure.
Yeah, I know he. That's something he does a bunch of. He's had some good rounds. I think he's had a few rounds where he struggled.
Yeah, he does have, he has his real good days.
He has real good days where he is a world beater.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like anybody, sometimes you just can't get it all together. You know what I mean? But, I mean, he shoots down here quite a bit. I almost thought about running a 50-meter league here just for him and, like, some of the guys here. Matt loves that stuff. Like, I think if Matt had more time, that would be something Matt would do. Yeah. So you must be getting – are you going to Mechanicsburg?
No, it's
– or wherever – outdoor nationals or whatever.
Over top of your third leg.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely over top of the third leg.
I'm definitely shooting the third leg.
Yeah, I am too.
Oh, so you're – oh, all right. So I was wondering about that because we were like, debating about – because I know Katie is not.
Okay.
Katie is going to go down to outdoor nationals. Mm-hmm. I guess – I mean, I'm sure that's probably – I mean, I would imagine like yourself, she's got just as good a chance of maybe winning that thing as anybody. I mean, I would imagine when you're a pro and you're a winning pro, you're obligated, like, you know, like to go down there to win. You know what I mean? I mean, Katie has been up to the RBD every single season. She could make it, right? But I know she's going down there. We were wondering about you and Haley. Because I think Haley's going to be going down to that shoot too. But who knows? Maybe she'll end up up here. Well, that's cool that you're going to be coming here. What did you think of your first RBD?
I liked it. It's definitely probably the hardest 3D course I ever shot. The hills are rough.
And you shot really good.
Yeah, I did. I shot
6 or 7 up or something?
Five up, I think. Yeah. I was beating him for a while, the first 10 or targets or so.
So, did you shot really good on the back end, then? Did you have a strong...
No, I shot... Well, we were both shooting really good in front, I think. I was 10 targets in. I was like 6 and she was 7, and then I hit like 5 or 6 rings.
And then I shot an 8 and a 5 back to back.
That's when we separated.
When you started going up the hill, right? Probably.
Yeah, the coyote. You shot.
And then the target after the coyote.
Then we both shot.
Target after the coyote.
It was like that. It wasn't hard. On the top of the hill, we both 11'd, and then the target next to that on the hill.
It was there was a howling wolf after that link.
Yeah, that's what I shot the
Well,
eight on.
Sort of side hill.
Yeah.
Side hill and downhill.
Yeah. And then you shot the coyote, then you shot that uphill ram, and then that downhill black cat. That seemed to be the stretch of targets.
I shot an 8.
That gave mostly everybody problems.
Yeah, I shot 8 on the howling wolf, and I shot 8 on the black cat.
Did you miss that howling wolf left or right? Did you get bubbled on it?
I did, yeah.
She did, but I missed it like 32nd of an inch above it. straight above it.
Because you're shooting
high. And yeah, I'll shoot uppers, and I just missed out.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you had. I mean, this course is hard.
Yeah.
Right? I guess it depends on who you ask about how hard it is. You know what I mean? I think the general consensus normally is, oh, it's the hardest 3D course competitive.
Everyone I talked to said it was super hard.
I would say, like, me and Caleb were talking about this on the phone the other day. I think for folks who aren't used to shooting pro ranges, they come here and this is, like, something so foreign to them that they're, I feel like, other than the angles and the cuts, I don't think the shots are more hard than we would see on a pro range. I mean, maybe on an ASA range. I've never shot an ASA pro range. But like when we were at the IBO last weekend,
it was probably just as long, if not longer.
Someone told me last weekend was average was like 44 plus or something the first day.
I believe that. And I think I've shot, I think there's probably 7 targets over 50 on the 40 target.
Boy, I bet we shot a pile of them the first day.
Yeah, we shot 3 or 4 the first day.
And then I bet you the second day I shot 4 more, maybe 3 more.
Russian boar was over. The javelina was over.
Was Hogzilla over?
No, Hogzilla wasn't. I had 11 out of 49.
Right, but that was close, right?
It was close. There's a lot of them right at 52.
I don't think I ever shot a course at Larry set that had so many touching max or over max.
That was the most I ever shot over max. The javelina, I swear, had to be 52.
I think, maybe. I shot a low 10 on it.
Levi 50, shot 48 and hit in the rebar with 48. Way low in the rebar.
I shot that thing for 51.5, and I shot just on the left white hash, just left of the 11. And I
shot it for 50, leading it and aimed at the top hash, at like the top of 11, and just caught the bottom of the 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That thing.
My side might have been at like 50 and a half.
I figured that thing was every bit of everything. Yeah. I mean, that course reminded me of, I think, for 2 days, I don't think we ever had our head kicked in kind of like that before.
Normally, you get an easier day.
Franklin, I don't know if you had moved up yet into the pro class, but when you're at Franklin, the very first year they had moved it there, I mean, I don't know. I felt like there was 9 targets the first day that were max plus. Like, it was like they had a 56-yard elk or something. I remember watching Nate Atkins lead that target off, and I lost track of hearing his arrow. It was so far away. And he shot that thing, like, in the bottom of the foot. And I thought, well, he had to put 51 on that thing. The thing looks like it's a million miles out there. Yeah. The next guy shoot it in the 5, just under the 8, right? I tend it with like 55.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to the guys who set the course after that round. It was me and Brandon Reyes were talking, and the guy says to Brandon, like, well, we were going to make it hard so not even Levi could shoot up. And I'm like, well, Levi did shoot up.
Yeah.
Because if Levi thinks something is 56,
he puts
56 on it. Like, I have a hard time, like, putting more than an X amount of yardage over max, right? Like, I may think it's 54, but I sit there and think, there's no way to put my 50. That's ridiculous, right?
They seem to do that more back in the day from what I've heard. Before I've ever moved up, like, years ago, they put a lot more over 50. Just from what I've heard.
I remember, like, in Erie, when we used to shoot in Erie, I was only shooting semi then. They would have a pile at, like, 53, 54. Like, I remember shooting an elk one time in the leg with, like, 52. I think it was out there a long ways. But, yeah, I mean, I thought last weekend was...
That was the hardest one I've ever shot.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was probably the hardest 2 days I ever shot, but I would prefer to shoot 2 days like that, me personally, than having, like you explained earlier, like some days you'd get a hard set and then you'd get a soft set.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for me, I would probably prefer
a hard set,
2 hard sets or whatever. You know what I mean? Because I mean, I think the scores were down.
It's easier to judge when it's a hard set too, because you're not running in and out.
Well, yeah, when everything's far. You just put it on far and Then it becomes like, well, how good can you shoot? I mean, there was a lot of other factors last weekend, like the wind.
No, the wind was...
Wind stunk. I mean, but like that first day, I thought we made out pretty decent in the field.
Yeah.
I mean, we had the elk. We all did well in the elk. I think the worst target on the field...
We did well in field. I had nothing but 10s and 11s in field.
Yeah, I thought we managed that field. We came out of field pretty good. I shot an 8 on that cat at the end.
Yeah.
But I thought other than that, we all navigated that field pretty decent. I mean, well, first day you shot what, 3-4 up the first day?
No, I shot even. I was five up to the last.
Well, I mean, look, that Lynx was eating everybody's lunch.
That was frustrating.
I could tell you that when Chance leads a target and he shoots it in the belly, I feel like my head starts to go into panic mode because I just think like, oh, he's one of the best that's ever done.
See, I couldn't add enough because I already misjudged it by 6 yards. So I added 2 yards to what I already thought it was.
I
was still 4 yards short.
Yeah, I had seen him do that, and I thought, what would I have to shoot that for with the number that I am thinking about to hit right there? And I thought, well, there's no way it's that.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to take what I think it is, and I'm going to add 4. I still shot under the 10.
Yeah.
Like, I think I ran...
You were close.
I think I ran like 42 or something. Yeah, 40.
They said it was like 43, 44.
And yeah, I don't think there's no way that looked that far to me. I mean, no, that did not.
I judged it for 38 yards.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking right off the bat.
That's what most people thought it seemed like.
And then when Chance shot low, and I know he's running only 290 something with his ASA setup, I thought, ooh.
He's 4 yards low.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's funny because when we were walking off that day, he was probably talking about how much he'd like to go home.
Yeah.
And then when I seen him after the second day,
made shoot home.
Yeah, second day, I said, you still want to go home now? No. He says, I didn't think I'd make it at 2 down. I mean, but I thought that like, that's how a pro range should be set up, that, right? I mean, I didn't think it was like too crazy hard, but I thought it was definitely.
No, I do well at, like, the harder ranges. I would have been fine if I didn't creep off my stops. That just ruined my whole weekend.
Yeah, you would have been right
I
up.
I would have been tied for second.
You had two bad shots, or else you could have probably put up a big number.
Yeah.
Like, you could have been 5 up first day.
Yeah.
Like, if you would have saved that, you would manage that lengths, and then, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the second day, I started out turkey. I was 2 down right away, and then hit some 11s, even on harder targets.
I got lucky. I 11 that turkey.
Did you?
Me and Justin Martin. I mean, but I had a good arrow in the bottom of the 10 ring there, and I thought I had a good number.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, if I had to lead that thing, I don't think I'd have been that good. Because I can't aim on it that good. I can never see those.
Luzar's 11 to leading it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that kid's a freak.
Yeah, every time I shoot with him, 11's a turkey.
Were you in his group second day?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no one in that pro class that I ever think, oh, man. It's always just a fun day to go out with whoever. Like, I like shooting with Justin. I shot with Justin Martin and Ryan.
Jeffries.
I mean, Ryan's the best. I don't think that dude's ever. You can never tell that guy's having a bad day.
Yeah.
And if you're having a bad day, he's going to make sure that you're not no longer having a bad day.
Yeah.
Right. I think he has a real good mind for not taking it too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, I know how much practice he does and things like that. So I know he does take it serious, but he's not taking it to the serious like where he wants to split his wrists at the end of the round. Like I was surprised about. Hirschberger. I hadn't shot with him for a long time. I shot with him once in semi. So he had a really, I mean, he put together a decent weekend. I mean, he managed to just manage the course. He shot 3 up with us. He must have shot even the second day.
He shot 5 up with us.
Oh, 5 up with us?
2 down the second day.
I thought he was 5 up that first day then. Mm-hmm. Wow, so that was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you guys were tied coming in.
Yeah, and
that
then
last
I
target.
5 the last target, so.
Yeah,
or we should have been tied for the lead.
So how's your Matthews been shooting to start the season off?
It took me a while to get used to it, really, and I feel like I finally am shooting it well. I felt like I shot well at your course even with it, but I had a lot of just like
I mean, I thought
just soft misses too.
I thought you shot well here. I mean, you came off, and I didn't think you were super impressive, 14 or 15 up. But
I had a lot of eights. For me, it was a lot of eights. I shot 4 8s. I think last year I went 90 targets and only shot 2 8s.
Yeah.
For the RBDs, so I had me having 4 8s. I was just frustrated with that.
Did you 10 the lengths uphill?
11 did.
You 11 at length?
Hers was 11. Hers was inside out, I think. She 11 did, and then I 11.
So you both were way above par for that target. Yeah. Because that was like.
I was hoping for a 10. Well, what did I tell you? I said, this is an 8 target.
Yeah,
to move
before
on.
He gets up and shoots, he's like, okay, well, this is going to be an 8.
That's kind of how I set it up, too. Yeah. After the first day, after that Friday, I mean, it was raining, but we had like 28 or 29 shooters on Friday. And out of those 29 shooters, like, 24 of them, 5 of that ranks.
Oh,
sorry, so that thing was just.
Yeah.
In fact, when we normally make a chart of like the most 5 targets, I had run out of room on the paper to marking where that links
was. Well, the year before, it wasn't any better. It was down the hill at about the same distance.
I think it was definitely the same distance.
For me, it was easier.
I shoot downhill better than I shoot uphill. I feel like I hold better downhill.
Yeah, me too. I gotta be careful sometimes. If I get too much pressure, I can pull out the top easy.
Like, I think my draw length is good. Like, I don't have any trouble holding uphill. I mean, you probably, if you're going over, well, you're gonna be, you don't really run into a lot of that stuff shooting the USA stuff because you can shoot flat 50 meters.
Yeah, but every single uphill target, I would probably shoot. I think I shot just bad shots on. I could not hold on the uphill targets at all.
But, like, your draw length didn't feel long.
Oh, no,
so I know some of the guys came off were like, man, I could tell you that when we hit that hill, I was able to tell you what all the problems with my setup is. Like, my draw length is too long, or I have too much weight on my bars, or all these different things. But, I thought you guys shot really well. I mean, you're in the top.
Yeah.
You both are in the top 10, I think, right?
Yeah.
As of right now.
I think I was 6th.
And I think this is normally the harder.
No, that's for sure the hardest.
This is the hardest leg. I mean, so it'll be interesting to see how the rest of them play out. I mean, I already got a little bit of inside stuff from where Caleb's going to do it down there at Keystone. But, I mean, big scores can be shot down there, too. I mean, it's funny because I said this on the last podcast. When people are talking about how hard it is, like, I get it. It's hard. I mean, I've never shot down here. Normally, I shoot good here.
Mm-hmm.
But I was having a tough time here, too, because it's just, hard. There are some people that came off with, like, the scores of their lives off this hill. You know what I mean? And I'm not, I'm talking about some archers who were just regular backyard Joes, right? And they were like, I can't believe I shot so good. Yeah. So, sometimes you run into
it helps too, I think, mentally with the expectation you're going to shoot bad because of the hard course.
I think also maybe some people come here and they're a little more focused than they were the year before because they know how hard it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was talking to a kid who came and shot. He never checked any of his axes. didn't have a second axis check, third axis check. And I was like,
that to my site the night before.
I was like, man, these are things you definitely need.
You'll know if it's on or off.
Oh, yeah, like, you're going to know real fast. Yeah, I mean, so the Matthews transition is smooth. I mean, obviously, you've been shooting well at all the national events.
Yeah, I feel like I'm shooting better and better.
I did
well. I felt like I shot really well at IBO as far as shooting the bow.
It's surprising. It's like, before the weekend starts, I feel like you can get a handful of guys that you think are going to be playing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're one of them, right? It's like, well,
I've been so close every shoot. It seems like just out.
It's a fine margin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think Chance was even talking about it a little bit with us on Saturday. Like, the margins are so slim in that pro class sometimes. I mean, look, even everybody thought it was the end of the world was coming to happening, right? Dan and Levi both shot down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, when is the last time you think that's ever happened, right? I mean, but it happens. The margins are razor thin in that class, right? Everybody is a good shooter, right? Like, everybody, I would think for the majority of the shooters, they're all probably like 650 Lancaster-ish round type archers, I would think, right?
Yeah.
So, and most of them can judge yardage good. So, meh, the margins are thin. Some guys are going to shoot good. Some guys are going to shoot bad. Mm-hmm. The key is 2 days, right? Yeah. I mean, I always think that's what separates mostly everybody.
That's what's been hurting me this year. I've been having bad first days. And then,
Well, you put up some kind of crazy crooked number at an ASA, right?
Like, I shot 20 up the second day in Fort Benning, almost made the shoot off.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
The second to last target, I shot an 8 on it.
I was like, holy moly, that was a pile up that second day. Oh, so then the bows are shooting good. You're just trying to figure them out a little bit, right? I mean, you were telling me, like, from a performance standpoint, they're all the same as basically the PSEs you shot. You're getting the same type of speed out of them.
Yeah, most spectrum was identical.
Right, same weight. Are you shooting the same arrows?
I switched to 25s this year, PS25s. I was shooting 26s for ASA and 23s for IBO last year.
But now you're just shooting 25s for everything? 25s
for everything.
What are you running for tip weight?
For ASA, 125, for IBO, 100. So it's pretty light, but...
You said you're right at, like, 300?
About
305
for my view.
Yeah, that's about where I'm sitting. It's tough when, like, Chance's bow sounds like it was so slow. Listening to his bow shoot a 290 is like just a thump. Yeah, well, I mean, we got a couple more weeks till the next one. Next leg of the RBD is in a couple weeks. And then the end of the summer, you're going to be running a shoot for PA Pursuits, right? Yeah. Down at your home club, right?
York and Adams Fishing Game.
So, I know you're going to run it like an RBD style, so tell us a little bit about what you're going to do down there.
So we're going to try to keep it exactly the same, or roughly the same yardage, I think. You have a chart that you get?
We have a chart.
I want to try to keep it as close as possible.
Yep.
So I'm going to try to do that.
I think that'd be, I think you'll have success down there. I think that's like an area down there where if we looked at our map, we have a lot of shooters that are like down south of us and then kind of curl around to the southeast. Mm-hmm. I mean, people probably come to events you run, right? I mean, last year you had a good turnout last year. Did Ian win it last year?
Ian won it. I think we had 64 shooters last year. Four, now 24 just shot for fun and 40 for the money, but then we paid out top three and then we paid out 10th, 20th, 30th, and then 40th. But this year we're going to flight it instead, top three in each flight.
I think that'll be a good deal. I mean, I'm excited to do that. I think you'll have a good turnout down there.
Be even better.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to do all McKenzie's? McKenzie's, half Reinhardt's? Yeah, so your club's got the 15 Reinhardt targets down there, or is that something that
I have a few of my own that I might need to.
Oh, and I can. Hey, we got plenty of them up here. I just picked up that new Ram over here.
I seen it sitting there.
Yeah, that was the only one they had down there.
At the IBO?
Yeah, I had called my buddy because he was down there Thursday before I got down there. I said, if they have a Ram, get down there, get the guy on the phone. I'm going to give you my credit card because I want to buy it. I want that Ram.
Yeah.
So do you think you're going to try some more 3Ds in the future? Or is that something that – have you done 3D shooting prior to joining the USA team, or have you been always like kind of paper?
When I was little and first started shooting, 3D was the only thing I shot. I shot the IBOs with my dad, and I joined Lancaster Joad team, and they're mostly target stuff, so that's how I got started into target. So ever since then, I've kind of been just target, but this year I'm doing 3 ASAs. I was supposed to do London, so it would have been 4.
That's right, because you can go down there. I mean, you definitely compete in that women's pro class.
Yeah, it's
that known pro. Did they move the – are the women also moved back to 60 in that known pro, or did they leave them at 50?
50.
Tell you what, I don't know if it was the move in – at the IBO last weekend, but it seemed like there was more women there. Did it seem like to you?
There was over 20, I think. Definitely was more than normal.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's good. I mean, they're trying to change things to boost their attendance. I mean, I guess every little bit helps. So.
I think the pros were up. The guys were up just slightly.
I was trying to look. It's hard. I thought maybe It looked like there was a few senior pro guys I didn't recognize from the past. It definitely looked like the semi-pros might have got a small bump, or maybe had a few guys in there that I didn't know from before. But, I mean, hey, whatever they can do. I mean, there's only, what, 35, 32, was there 32 pro shooters?
I think so, yeah, something like that.
Something 30s. Like that? Yeah, I mean, well, you know, they'll do what they can do to try to grow that thing.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, the thing is, it's like advertising dollars, right? They got to figure out a way to get big names like Matthew, you know. Mm-hmm. When they start... Shocking to me because, like, the top guys in the IBO are all running. A lot of them are running Matthews. You know what I mean? I think that's obviously the prevalent bow now. I mean, it's Matthews and Elite and Darton, really. Yeah. I think a lot of guys are shooting Elites. And then the rest of them are running Dartons. I mean, I still see quite a few Dartons here and there.
Yeah.
Down there.
Around.
I mean, PSE basically just shot themselves in the foot. I mean, they don't have like a single. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what they're.
I mean, the irony is that Hirschberger ended up winning the weekend, and
he's not getting
and he's shooting PSE, right? So yeah, he doesn't get anything from them. But I mean, I think they'll figure it out. I mean, I still like the bows. I mean, I still shoot one. I think they're just going through a weird transition.
Yeah. I don't think they're going the right direction.
They may not be either. I mean,
they're losing out on the 3D side of things. But.
For as big as it's crazy because I think 3D is, I don't know if it's outpacing paper, but I mean, with tack and all this other stuff going on, I mean, it's like there's a lot of people shooting 3D archery, man. Yeah. Like a lot of it, and compared to like spot shooting, I feel like they're missing the boat, you know.
Yeah.
Like does Hoyt Pinkton at IBOs? They're not in it either.
They just took it away.
Oh, they just stopped.
Yeah.
But they must be at the ASA, I'd imagine.
Right? Yeah, they do. They pay good at the ASA. I think it's $15,000 for Open Pro. Same as Matthews.
Golly.
But.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice piggy bank when you get out there and win one of them things.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I certainly thank you guys for stopping by.
Yeah,
it was fun talking to you guys. And like I said, if you guys want to go try to shoot another bird tomorrow, you're more than welcome. Or there's got to be a bunch of good public land around here. Where were you thinking about going on public?
I'm not even sure. We checked out a place.
I know there's a few spots over in Bentley Creek.
Okay, yeah.
That's a good spot over that way. Yeah. You got to kind of go up Thompson Hill Road and kind of wander around over that way. But I don't know. I don't think anybody. There's not like a lot of turkey hunters out there, so you probably have the woods to yourself.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
Yeah, probably give it a try tomorrow again.
Well, Olivia, Brady, thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
See you guys later.
Bye.